couple songs that we've sung leading up to now. I was thinking of this last song of praising God for all he's brought us through. And I happen to think that's a lot easier once we're through it. The difficulty is praising God as he's bringing us through. And yet we're still called upon to do that. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. Jesus said, you will have trouble. And what I don't like trouble. I'm guessing there's not too many in here that look forward to that. But it comes. And so we learn to praise God not only for what he's brought us through, but for what he's bringing us through. And I was thinking about the precious memories that flood our soul. And sometimes those precious memories that flood our soul, we discover kind of leak out the edges of our eyeballs. Because they're precious memories, but we kind of wish that they were still more than just memories. And so as we consider following Jesus, we're continuing a series through the Gospel of Matthew. And we're in Matthew chapter 16 today, and a message I've entitled, The Right Track. And as I thought about this, it just kind of flows with the series and the chapter. But to me, this is a great Mother's Day sermon. And I don't know about you, but at least in my life, my mom was that driving force that always wanted to put me and keep me on the right track. In fact, she was very firm in re-guiding me if I found myself not on the right track. And that's the kind of the way my mom has been in my life. I'm guessing a lot of you have mothers like that, that were and still are very concerned about you being on the right track. The thing about mothers is they never outgrow that role, no matter how much their children grow. It's always their desire that their children follow that right track, that they find that right track, that they stay on that right track. And so this morning, as I consider what it looks like from the perspective of Jesus, from the example of those who followed him, I want us to look at some things that we ought to pay attention to, that we ought to strive to get right. Because these five things we're going to talk about this morning, if we don't get them right, we're in some pretty big trouble. I love trains. And I love going to train yards and just watching the complexity especially a large train yard. And there's one over here in Elkhart that has track after track after track coming in and switching and redirecting and making sure that those trains get to the right place once they leave that yard. And somebody has this incredible job of making sure each locomotive, each train car, each load that's there is on the right track so it gets to where it's supposed to be. And if you end up, I remember years ago, there's a story told about the old wagon trains as they would head out west. And they would say that at various places there would be these signs that would simply say, choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it the next 300 miles. Well, with a train, you're kind of stuck with whatever the track goes. Choose your track carefully, because you're on it to the end. Now, the good news about this track that we're going to talk about today is that you can be redirected through God's mercy, through his grace, through your repentance, through faith in Christ. And he can lift you from that track that may be headed in the wrong direction and place you on the one that's headed in the right direction. And so this morning, what does it look like as we follow Jesus to choose this right track? Well, it begins by choosing the right teaching. One of the difficulties as Jesus was teaching is that so much of his teaching seemed to contradict the teaching of the religious leaders that supposedly knew everything about God. And so in chapter 16 of Matthew, the Pharisees and Sadducees, these two groups that thought that they were smart, they were the religious leaders of the day, they came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show a sign from heaven. If you really are Jesus, almost reminiscent of the temptation of Satan, if you really are who you say you are, prove it. And so Jesus replies, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. Somehow you figured out how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. And then Jesus left them and went away. And when they had crossed the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples discussed this amongst themselves and asked, is it because we didn't bring bread? The religious leaders had missed the teaching of Jesus. They had missed the teaching of the prophets. They're wanting some miraculous sign to prove that he is who he said he was. And yet Jesus says, I've been here fulfilling everything the prophets had said all along. If you had been paying attention to the right teaching, you would know who I am. And in fact, he says at this point, the only sign that you will get is the sign of Jonah, referring to the fact that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the great fish. And Jesus says, I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights as this sign of Jonah. The disciples, Jesus is concerned that the yeast of the Pharisees, the stuff that grows, the stuff that expands. One of the reasons that many of us like a good yeast roll is because you put that yeast in it and it just expands and it gets nice and airy and fluffy and you can almost taste it as I talk about it, right? Well, the yeast of the Pharisees was not such a good thing. In fact, it was a poisonous yeast that was growing and expanding in the lives of those that were paying attention to them. And Jesus says, be careful. It looks good on the outside. It appears that it's providing growth, but it's really bringing death. And yet the disciples, they don't understand the teaching. Oh, Jesus is upset because we forgot the bread again. Never mind, they've just finished two different episodes where Jesus took a few loaves of bread and multiplied it to feed a multitude. And here they are, missing the teaching that they needed to pay attention to what goes into their life and what they allow it to grow. And as we live as those on the right track, we must have the right teaching of God's Word so that it is what's growing in our life. But this right track not only includes the right teaching, it includes a right report. We must understand what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what's being reported about God and about Jesus. And so Jesus addresses their concern about not bringing bread, and he says in verse 8, you of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered afterwards? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand I was not talking to you about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then verse 12, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Following Jesus on the right track means we're listening to the right teaching, we're hearing the right report, we're understanding what Jesus means when he tells us to be on guard, to be watchful. Don't get caught up in the little stuff that is meaningless, but focus on the truth of God's word. And then he begins to ask them, who do people think that I am? And they give a list of answers that people give. They give the report that the crowds have. And sometimes we kind of want to take a poll and get the consensus of everybody. And we say, well, as a group, who do we believe Jesus is? And we come up with a conclusion and says, well, that's the Jesus we'll follow. But the right track isn't about just any report. It's about the right report. We can't make up Jesus into our image. We're supposed to be living as those created in the image of God. And so the crowds would report, well, he's Elijah. He's one of the prophets. Maybe he's even John the Baptist. Come to us after Herod chopped his head off. All of these reports were trying to explain what God's word had already made clear. This was the Messiah, the Son of God. And so we have to be careful that the reports that not only that we hear, but the reports that we tell are accurate. That the track that we're on follows the right teaching, it follows the right report, because when we follow the right teaching and the right report, we're more apt to have the right answer. If it's an answer that I'm just making up out of my head, it's probably not going to be accurate. Oh, it'll be a pleasing answer, it'll be an answer that I like, but it won't be God's answer. It's why the Bible tells us that we ought to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing, rightly using the word of truth. And that scripture wasn't just written to preachers. It was written to every believer to be those who study to show themselves approved, who come up with the right answer. And so when Jesus asked, after the reports had been given about who people say that he is, he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? We know this answer. We've studied this answer. We've read this answer over and over again. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then this verse baffles me. Verse 20, then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. We know through studying scripture and reading scripture that Jesus did this because his time was not yet come. That in revealing that in a large way would lead to the cross. And it wasn't time to lead to the cross yet. So Jesus was trying to keep his identity somewhat secret even while still proclaiming the kingdom of God. But this right answer is Jesus is the Christ. This right answer is Jesus is the one sent from God. This right answer is Jesus is the Savior of the world. This right answer is Jesus. And if we live on the right track, we live with the right teaching, we live with the right report, we live with the right answer. Can you imagine going to school? I know some of you are getting ready to graduate, and you're looking forward to finally finishing high school, and then all of a sudden, what's next? But could you imagine a final exam where the right answer for every question was the same? Like, wow, this is easy. Now, most of us in our mind, we would think there has to be a trick. At least maybe, I'm confessing here. I would look at that, and even though I thought every answer was the same, I'd say, well, that can't be right. And I would spend so much time trying to figure out a different answer. Surely they wouldn't give me a test that the answer's the same. But in the Christian walk, the right answer is always Jesus. When you're happy, Jesus. When you're sad, Jesus. When you're hurting, Jesus. When you need comfort, Jesus. Whatever the problem or question or difficulty in life, we go to Jesus first. Because he's the author, he's the writer of our faith, and he's the finisher, completer of our faith. And so all of those things of life that require faith for us to get through, the right track gives the answer of Jesus. The old song says, I will cling to the old rugged cross. We cling to that old rugged cross, not because of the piece of wood that it is, but because of the Savior who was crucified on it. Because of the work accomplished by Jesus. Which brings us to that fourth element of the right track. We have the right teaching, the right report, the right answer, but we also must have the right Christ. The Bible says that there will be many who come saying, look at me, I'm the Christ, I'm the one, follow me. And it's imperative that we have the right Christ. Continuing on in Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, great Peter. Peter took him aside. Come on over here, Jesus. I got to tell you something. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Being on the right track requires that we have the right Christ, the Christ who calls us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow him. Too often we want to create a Christ that makes life easy for us. We want to create a Christ who says everything's okay, do what you want, it doesn't matter, it's all going to work out in the end. That's not the Christ of the Bible. That's not the Christ who went to the cross to die for our sins. The right Christ is the one who says, I will suffer and die so that you don't have to. But because he suffers and dies, he says, we must surrender everything. Take up our cross daily. If we take up our cross daily, it's not the same cross that the cross of Jesus was. The cross of death you can take up once. It's pretty difficult to take up a cross and die on it and then get up tomorrow and take up a cross and die on it. Jesus is talking about a cross of sacrifice for you and for me. A cross of sacrifice that considers the needs of others to be more important than our own. And this is the Christ that we follow. That says, come, surrender everything and gain more than you ever would have thought you could. The Christ that offers eternal life. It's the Christ that we remember around his table each week. As we take the bread, that body that was broken for our sin. As we take the cup, the blood that was poured out to wash us clean, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Without the body and blood of Christ covering our sin, any Christ that we create is going to always fall short because we're still sinful. And so this right track carries us along with the right teaching, the right report, the right answer, and the right Christ, and it brings us to the right kingdom. The track is always heading to the kingdom. And as we stay on this right track, we arrive when it's our time to arrive. Finishing out Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says in verse 25 and following, "For whoever wants to save his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a person if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what could a person give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." God describes a kingdom that is different than the kingdoms of this world. The right track takes us to a kingdom that only Jesus can provide entry to. He talks about some of them not seeing death or tasting death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And there are people to debate that. Okay, so what does that mean? Did people not die? Well, I think we're going to talk about that next week in chapter 17. My take on it is Peter, James, and John, when they see this transfiguration, they get this glimpse of the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. It says they will not taste death before they see it. But that kingdom was a kingdom that was not of this world. That kingdom was a kingdom that was of heaven. And the right kingdom that we ought to be headed towards is the kingdom where God lives. And sometimes we get so distracted, we get so caught up by the kingdoms of this world. And while we don't here in America think often of kings and kingdoms in that same nature, we create our own kingdoms. We create a kingdom of wealth. We create a kingdom of pleasure. We create a kingdom of busyness. We create a kingdom of self. We create all kinds of kingdoms that kind of make us comfortable, make us satisfied. But none of those are the kingdom of God. And the right track will lead us through the right teaching, to the right report, to the right answer, to the right Christ, so that we arrive at the right kingdom where Jesus reigns forever and ever. The Bible says that Jesus ascended back to heaven. He said that he promised his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for those who put their faith in him. And if he went to prepare a place, then surely he'll come back and take us to where he is. That's the kingdom that we proclaim today. That's the kingdom that I'm pretty confident that you came here this morning hoping to continue your journey towards. But even though we're not there yet, there's still a responsibility, an expectation that we live today, we live tomorrow, we live each day that we get on this earth as kingdom citizens. We're foreigners in this land. We're simply traveling through on a track that leads us to where we want to be. And this morning, as we come to this time of decision, it really begs the question. I've kind of laid out the track that I think is the right track. I think the Bible describes as the right track. But I don't know what track you're on. See, the difficulty with some of these train yards that have many, many tracks is at the beginning, they're all kind of side by side, and it's pretty difficult unless you know by studying and information where each one's headed. I, as a novice, can look at all of them, and I could not tell you which is going where. The yardmaster knows. I don't know what track you're on. I can get a pretty good idea by the fruit that you're producing, by the way that your life is being lived. But I can't know for certain. But you know. You know if you're following the right teaching, if you're using God's word, or you're making things up, or following something someone else has made up. You know if the reports that you're hearing are true and accurate, or if they're just stuff someone's saying. You know if the answers you give have meaning and depth, and or if they're just words. You know if the Christ that you're following is the one that sacrificed himself for your sin, or if it's something that you've created in your own imagination. You know if the kingdom that you're headed towards, that you desire, is the kingdom of God. And it's my prayer that for each one of us, we're on the right track. Now, the great thing about this track is it continues for all of us. You may be further down the track than I am. I may be further down the track than you are. But as long as we're on the track, we're all going to get there. So as we come to this time of decision, the question begins, are you on the track? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord? Have you been immersed into Christ to have your sins washed away, to be given the gift of His Spirit? Have you repented of your sin and said, God, I want you in charge? If you need to talk with someone about that decision of following Jesus, reach out to me at any time. In a moment, as we stand and sing, you can join me in a room to my left and we can begin that conversation, but we can begin that conversation anytime. But as I say, most weeks we gather here primarily because we've already decided we want to be on that track. And our decision has more to do with what will tomorrow look like. How will I grow? How will I move down this track? How will I be a better witness? If you need someone to pray with you, you also can join me in the room to my left. But this is a decision time that's as much between you and God as anything else. And it's why we have this decision time move into our communion time. So that the things that God's Spirit has been talking to you about through this message, you can talk to God about as you commune with Jesus. And so as we prepare to sing, may this song help prepare you for your decision. May it help prepare you for your time around the table and your conversation with Jesus. Would you stand as we sing?